Good afternoon, everyone. We don't call this to order because it's a work session, but we will begin our work session. I'm Randy Christman, Chair of the Commission, of the Public Service Commission of North Dakota, joined by Commissioner Sherry Haugen-Hoffert and our neutral decision maker in this case, Judge Tim Dawson. I want to make a few opening comments, not even so much to my counterparts here, but to the crowd that's here and others who listen, because some of the ways of a quasi-judicial administrative agency like this are unusual compared to other things people have experienced. So give you a little bit of information about what we're doing and next steps and things like that. Our discussion today is not even going to reach a final decision on this limited part. We're going to be talking amongst ourselves about the applicability of local ordinances in a pipeline siting case. And this is not about the final decision in the case even. When we make a decision on this, it could in fact be that we find that local ordinances are superseded, but that doesn't mean that the permit is granted. That's a whole different process for the future. This is a work session, and there's other things we do, but generally our gatherings are work sessions or meetings or hearings. A lot of you in this room have been to some of our hearings where we're participants in the case, testify, and they question other witnesses. And in many of the cases, we take public comment. Those are hearings. When we have a meeting is when we gather to make a decision. We'll discuss and vote on something, potentially amend it first. This is a work session because we do not get together and discuss these things behind closed doors. This is a work session for us to kind of get it somewhat organized for a meeting that will be forthcoming to make a decision on these, on the applicability of local ordinances. I want to remind everyone, you've been so good throughout this process for almost a year already. The PSC runs its proceedings in an orderly and dignified manner. We always have. That allows all sides to be treated respectfully. And so that's why, instead of doing this upstairs in our little conference room, we came down here so we can be transparent. You can all monitor our work. And again, this is a work session for internal discussions. It's not about taking comments, but please help us maintain our fine tradition of not waving signs or applauding or booing when you hear things that you like or dislike. Let's treat one another respectfully. I want to emphasize again, a work session is not a place for decision making. As the portfolio holder in this case, I will offer up a draft proposal here in a little bit on this one part of the decision. It's a starting point. Then as commissioners, we typically try to reach a consensus on all of our orders. When we can't, the commissioners have usually tried to make that order as good as possible. But then if they just can't vote for it, then at the meeting, when we make the decision, they might bring either amendment to it or an alternative order. My initial proposal today says that the PSC orders, the orders that we do in a siting case, automatically supersede and preempt any local land use or zoning regulations in the case of pipelines. So the discussion on improving my portfolio does not necessarily mean that that is what the order is going to be that gets passed when we have our official meeting here in the near future. It could be that one or both of my fellow decision makers persuade me otherwise, or that they bring more amendments or alternative orders to our next meeting. This work session really gives us a chance to focus on accurately describing the circumstances of the case, what the parties argued in the oral arguments, and how to apply the law to that information. with that, I'll give you a chance for any opening comments that you might have, and then I'll return to the mic and explain my proposal. Commissioner Haugenhofer.
Thank you, Chair Crispin. I really appreciate you outlining the different meetings between work session and when we meet and when we have hearings. I think it's always good to lay that out and remind us, but also educate, because so many of you guys are involved in this process. You're here because you have invested interest. We appreciate you guys being here. And I think you laid it out very well, and I appreciate that. I have no additional opening comments. The issue before us is a legal issue and how we apply it. So I look forward to our discussion.
Thank you. Mr. Dawson?
I would just like to thank you all for coming today. I'm surprised and pleased that there are so many people in the room. I'm glad that there's this kind of interest in political issues that are out there. So thanks for coming today.
Okay. Do you each have a draft proposal from staff?
Yes.
Okay. So I want to emphasize that the section of law we're dealing with here deals specifically with pipeline siting. The PSC preemption of local ordinances and regulations does not apply to electric transmission lines, and it does not apply to conversion facilities. And it did not apply to pipelines until 2019. It's really a pretty new law. I went back and read the law for pipeline siting from before Senate Bill 2038 became effective in 2019. And to me, it reads exactly as the interveners have been arguing for us to find until the legislature changed it. So that is just not the law today. Senate Bill 2038 changed that and made it clear that on pipeline projects, some of which traverse many local jurisdictions, the PSC order supersedes local ordinances and regulations. And I think the point of that being so that a developer, whether it's an oil pipeline, a gas pipeline, or in this case, a CO2 pipeline, does not have to design and build a facility that is different with every county and township that decides to do something a little different. I mean, I can't read into the reason for it. I'm going by just what it says. I understand that this is not likely to be a popular decision in this circumstance. However, we're not a legislative body. A legislative body convenes to create a product. Their product is the law. And what they do is they create a product that they like. That's a legislative body. We don't get to create the product we like. We follow the law that the legislature created and gave us as guidance. We are required to follow that law, and in this case, it's abundantly clear. For our listeners who have not actually read the law for yourself, I really urge you to do that. Don't just go by how someone else that you've read or listened to, how they characterize it. Go read it for yourself. It's North Dakota Century Code, Title 49, Chapter 22.1, Section 13, Subsection 2. Now that sounds like, oh my gosh, this must be really complicated. But it's just a few sentences. It's an easy read. Subsection 2 is then divided into 5 parts, and they're labeled A through E. Subsections D and E are really about implementation, so they're not really a factor in what we're discussing here. And subsection A is about conversion facilities, like power plants or, say, a natural gas processing plant. So subsection A is not applicable to pipelines, despite what one of the interveners has claimed. So that leaves us with subsections B and C. Subsection B makes clear in one sentence that a permit for the construction of a pipeline supersedes and preempts any local land use or zoning regulation. Then subsection C provides one exception to subsection B, clarifying that the applicant must comply with local road use agreements of the impacted political subdivision unless they are unreasonably restrictive. I said last August, when we met to deny the permit for the case, that I felt this part of the decision was abundantly clear. And I've listened with an open mind to arguments for nearly 6 months, and it's as clear to me today as it was then. The only difference might be that in the meanwhile, there's actually a special legislative session when legislators could have created different language if that was, in fact, what a majority of them believed was the desire of their constituents. But that did not happen. I want to say to our listeners that as an administrative agency, we have flexibility in certain things that we do, but our flexibility is very limited in other things that we do. If the legislature creates law that guides us in one of our jurisdictional responsibilities, our flexibility becomes limited because we are required to follow the law. That's what happened with Senate Bill 2038 in 2019. They reined in our flexibility on pipeline siting. Now, this agency just cannot start ruling on our cases based on what we wish the law would be or what the law was 5 years ago. We only need to look to Washington, D.C. to see what happens when administrative agencies run afoul of the law. It is debilitating and it is destructive to our society. And it's the kind of agency overreach that most North Dakotans despise. Again, I understand that this decision is going to upset a lot of people who wish it the law were otherwise. And a lot of those people are some really close and dear friends of mine. And I'm sorry about that, but I have a responsibility as an elected official to follow the law. I know it's tempting to want administrative agencies to ignore or violate a law when we don't like it. But that is a dangerous path that we ought not take. And if we start to take that kind of a path, we become exactly what so many of us view agencies like the EPA and the Justice Department as, who go off on their own and do what they want, not what the law says. So I've passed this out. I am happy to answer questions that my fellow commissioners have on any details of this, or if you have some amendments, or you can just review it. And like I said earlier, when we hold a subsequent meeting to make a decision, you're welcome to bring amendments or alternative orders. But here's our chance to discuss it in an open setting to kind of stay organized, I guess, for the future meeting.
Chair Crispin, I think you laid it out very well. This is a legal question before us. I have taken it under legal advisement. I have done my own reviewing of what was brought before us at the hearing. And as you said, 49-22-1-3, section 2A through E is very clear. It's the law. And that's what we were elected to uphold. And I just want to reflect back when we went back to the order denying the application. I am the commissioner that brought forth taking out that section on superseding local ordinances because I thought it was a moot decision because we were denying the application. And I knew there was a lot of invested interest in it. I knew what the law said at that time, but I just thought it was moot. And we had an opportunity through the legislative session, like you pointed out, and through the hearing to provide evidence that would change my mind on that, and nothing came forward. So I'm reviewing your draft order, and based upon the law, the evidence submitted, I would concur with your draft order.
Thank you. Mr. Dawson?
I agree with your sentiments as well. The law is my master. I have to follow it. And I think it's especially clear if you look back at Senate Bill 2038 as it's in the session laws. Technically, the North Dakota Century Code is just a codification of the law that's in the session laws. And I think when you go back and look at that, you see how clear it was that the Public Service Commission had some discretion in the past, and they crossed off the word may, and they made it mandatory that it superseded and preempts local ordinances. And there's really, as a past drafter myself, I see exactly what the drafter was doing. I see that you move from general to specific. And if you start working at the specific and work up to general, you can get a different twisted view of it. But most statutes are drafted from general to specific, from beginning to end. Also, there's a rule of drafting in which we try to save as much language as possible. And so we save some language when you came down in subdivision C, we saved language relating to the language of the discretion of the Public Service Commission as it related to road use agreements and permits. That language got pushed down, and that used to be up there with the authority of the Public Service Commission to address these preempted regulations. So it is very clear to me that the law is as Commissioner Christman states it. I can't read it a different way. And so I wouldn't at least change the overall thoughts of the draft order.
Sometime I might have to have you give me the whole drafter's code so that I always used to wonder sometimes in legislature how the bills that I had drafted came back looking different than I thought they were going to. But well, thank you for that. Do either of you have any amendments, just, you know, even technicalities or anything that you see that for now, and not that you can't bring it later when we schedule a meeting, but anything that you'd like to recommend patching up?
None.
Hearing none, then staff, do you have any more thoughts? With no conflicts here, I'm imagining not. But
no, there was one minor edit that Zach had sent to me after I had passed this out to all of you. In the second paragraph, I had identified the company as Summit Carbon Transport rather than SCS Carbon Transport. So I've made that change in my draft, but it's probably not in the version you have in front of you. It's kind of a minor edit. One edit that Zach had pointed out to me in the second paragraph in the draft that the three of you have in front of you, I'd identified it as Summit Carbon Transport LLC rather than SCS Carbon Transport LLC. So I made that one very minor edit to the draft that I'm working on in my office. So otherwise, I have no more other suggestions or points of discussion. I don't know if Zach has any thoughts.
Certainly willing to answer any questions, but I don't imagine that you would have any after this discussion and hearing the sentiments.
If not, then I'm fine with that. So in a new draft, we'll have that change from Summit to SCS to make it technically correct. Unless I run into anything in the meanwhile that, you know, that jumps out at me as a correction that should be made, this will probably be very close to what I bring to our meeting. Again, if you have reconsideration, you are welcome to bring amendments to a subsequent meeting or alternative orders. I haven't asked you. I you may have kind of played your cards, but your decision won't be final until we have a meeting. I don't think this should take a lot of time until we can hold a meeting. And I forgot to bring my notes or my phone with my calendar in it. But I'm going by memory, and I believe, Mr. Dawson, I believe we actually have you acting as a substantive ALJ next Thursday, and so you probably are unavailable. I would be available the later part of the week, but now we'll rule out Thursday. Is that too soon, or what would either of you, would you prefer the following week, or how do your schedules look? I know the following week I can't on Monday or Tuesday because I have SPP.
Wednesday through Friday, I am out of state.
Of next week?
Yep. However, I mean, I think it's important to be there. If we're getting into some restricted time, I could look at my flight and willing to be online. Life is busy, but the following week, Monday and Tuesday, I'm available, but
I'm not, but. Wednesday afternoon after our informal hearing, I could, or that following Friday. But tell me if that's getting out too far, if you would rather call in for it.
Well,
based on this discussion, I'm not imagining it to be a long meeting or too controversial, maybe.
February 8th and 9th, I have a lot of availability. Maybe we can look at. Is that too far out?
I don't have my calendar.
Is Tuesday next week too soon?
Tuesday I have SPP. Oh. For me, Wednesday, the kind of the later part of the afternoon, you know, from maybe 3:30 or whenever that informal is concluded, or Friday would be my days where.
So
and I'm not talking about next week, I'm talking about the following week now.
Yeah, that so just to kind of recap, I think next week all of you are busy on various days for various other
sounds
meetings.
Like
so I've as I was trying to review everyone's calendars, next week just didn't look like a possibility for us. The following week, Commissioner Christman does have the SPP meetings Monday and Tuesday. Wednesday the 7th, we have a commission meeting in the morning. The afternoon, we have some availability. What would probably be safest to ensure we don't conflict with any other things that we may have going on that day, we could say 4 p.m. potentially. But I don't know if that works for everyone. So that's probably the earliest I can see.
How about Wednesday morning, the 7th, right away in the morning before the commission meeting? I'm going to throw that out. Two options. I mean, we have early morning before the commission meeting or after our commission and informal, but you're going to be later in the day again. So.
Yep.
If it matters, I won't be available that week at all. I have a trial, so I will not be able to be at that meeting.
I think it's fine if Zach can't make it to the meeting where you all vote. You know, our presence is secondary to the three of you generally. But I guess it's certainly up to the three of you.
When is the meeting on the PSC meeting on the 7th?
What 10 time? 10 a.m.
Okay. I'm available before that and after that in the afternoon.
If we meet that morning, we need to meet plenty early because, you know, just our history shows there are often changes to that meeting and we need some time before the, you know, some orders that we have, we'll have 15, 20 orders on that meeting. Something will get changed the day before and we need some time in those mornings in order to be properly prepared. But if we could start at 8:15 or 8:30,
I'm fine with that, or 4 o'clock on that day later.
Okay.
Did you have a concern one way or the other?
No concern either way.
I think we should probably do the 4 o'clock to leave, because I suppose we have to set up this room.
And that's what I was going to say, Commissioner. If we could get one other possible date, generally this room is reserved for an entire day at a time rather than hours at a time. I, as we sit here, I don't know if it's available on that day or not. So if we can have the preference certainly seems to be the morning of the 7th, the afternoon of the 7th. And I'd like to get one other day in case that day is just isn't available.
Did I hear that the 9th worked for you too?
Yes, it does.
Yes.
So there's your alternative.
Okay.
Wednesday the 7th or Friday the 9th.
Okay. And is the, did I kind of state the preferences right as far as the 7th morning, afternoon, and then the 9th as the backup?
I would do afternoon first.
I would kind of share that. I kind of share Randy's concern. I guess the morning prior to a commission meeting is generally pretty busy in the office. So that would be my preference, but
mine
the,
too.
The three of yous.
You're good too with that?
4 p.m. is my preference as well.
Oh.
Love it.
Okay.
Okay. I will get that set up once we have availability of the room confirmed. Thank you.
With that, thank you, everyone. This work session is concluded.